You are about to hear one of the most remarkable, life-changing testimonies you have ever heard.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Here's the good news. Jesus is the Savior. Here's the good news. Jesus is really, genuinely, supernaturally transforming lives. Here's the good news. No matter what the devil brings for evil, God can turn it around for good. Your hearts will be encouraged. You will be inspired today on The Line of Fire as I speak with Pastor Dimas Celebrarius and his new book. We talk about his testimony, Street God. It's an amazing read because it's an amazing story about an amazing Savior. This is, excuse me, Michael Brown. Great to be with you today on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I'm coming your way live from Dallas, Texas today. If you're anywhere in the DFW area, join me as I'll be on Life Today, broadcasting with Pastor James Robeson, talking about outlasting the gay revolution, talking about standing with grace and truth. So we'll be doing that in front of a live audience tonight, and then it'll broadcast some weeks down the line on their international TV network. Also, something very, very important coming your way. If you are listening to me on WMCA, if you are listening to me in the greater New York area right now, please join me this Thursday night, one night only. I'll be in town to minister on Mordecai Will Not Bow. It will be a night of inspiration, edification, instruction, encouragement. It will be, excuse me, hosted by Pastor Steve Malazzo, a dear friend for many years at Bethlehem Assembly of God. So this is in Valley Stream. So Valley Stream, if you're familiar with the greater Long Island, New York area, Valley Stream, right at the tip of Queens, I mean, you're not far. It's on Long Island, easily accessible from anywhere in the greater New York City area or on Long Island, 7:30 p.m. That's 12 East Fairview Avenue in Valley Stream. So please join me. And I just got the news from my producer, Matt. We've got 10 free copies from Tyndale Publishers to give away of this incredible book by Pastor Dimas called Street God. So jot this number down. Don't call me yet. But jot this number down, 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. And we'll also tell you how you can order a copy because you're going to want to get this book if you want to be inspired, if you want to be edified, if you want to be encouraged, if you want to be challenged. Jesus is the Savior. No matter how far down you've sunk, let me proclaim it again. Jesus is the Savior. No matter what's going on in your own life, Jesus is the Savior. No matter how deep into sin a family member may be, a friend may be, some lost person may be, things may seem absolutely and utterly hopeless, I want you to know that God can reach down and get hold of you, that God can reach down and transform, that God can reach down and set the most vile captive free. 866-34-TRUTH will be the number to call for some free books we have for you. But don't call yet. We're not giving away the books yet. And I won't be taking questions in this first half hour. I want to get the maximum time with Pastor Dimas so you can hear his amazing testimony to the glory of the Lord. Hey, I was saved at the age of 16 as a heroin-shooting, LSD-using, rebellious, Jewish, teenage rock drummer. And the testimony you're about to hear, in certain ways, is even more dramatic. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire. This is Michael Brown coming away live from Dallas, Texas. In a moment, I'm going to give you a phone number to call to get a free copy of Pastor Dimas Celebrezze' book, Street God. And then I'll tell you how you can order a copy because we only have a few free copies to give out. 866-34-TRUTH. But let me bring my dear friend, Pastor Dimas, onto the broadcast. Great to talk with you, brother.
Hey, so glad to be with you. And I know you're enjoying the beauty of Texas.
Yeah, well, actually, I flew in, and my hotel is actually right by the airport, in the airport. So I haven't gotten out too far. A little bit later today, okay. I will. But okay, we met working together, New York City. I don't live in the city now, but often working in the city. Had the joy of preaching for your congregation in the Bronx. You made me an honorary soul brother that day, which I appreciate.
You did a great job.
Oh, well, thanks, and it's a joy to be with you. So I only know you on this side of the story. I only know you as a follower of Jesus, as a pastor, as a leader, with a big smile, loving the Lord, real heart for revival. But as I found out more about your background and then started to read your book, Street God, I thought, this is a story. And no surprise that you've been on secular media talking about it now that the book is out. So let's go back to the beginning. Were you raised in a godly home, or were you kind of raised as a street kid?
Well, I was raised in, my mother was a principal. My father was a captain of correction in Queens, New York, which was manicured lawns, like a suburban kind of community. My father was not really a follower of God at all. Matter of fact, he was an atheist. But my mother had faith, and she believed in God, but she only went to church, you know, around Easter and sometimes Christmas. So it was one of those routines where twice a year she'd get on the, going to church, we'd go for about 2 weeks, then she'd drop off. And then when Christmas would come around, the same thing would happen. But I always liked church, would ask to go, but it just wasn't going down.
All right, well, where did things go wrong for you, though? You weren't raised in an environment where your dad was dealing drugs, or your mom was out on the streets. How did things go wrong?
Well, at age 9, I saw this movie, E.T., and was so excited about the movie, came downstairs from the movie theater, and there was a big, you know, portrait of Al Pacino in this movie, Scarface, that was coming out the following year. Mm. So when I was 10, I got in to see Scarface, and when I saw that movie, I mean, it just blew me away. From desiring to ride a bike in the sky, I then desired to be a street god. I desired to be a kingpin. And I said, man, this guy could have quit selling these drugs right when he got to the money machines. And I thought I was that smart. But, you know, you're age 10, you can't even process right. And then right in my neighborhood, this guy pulled up, 18 years old, brand new Cadillac. Then an ambulance pulled in front of him. And I'm looking at this right at McDonald's, and I'm like, someone must be sick in McDonald's. Then cops go rushing this guy, threw him on the floor. My friend said, yeah, he's a crack dealer. And then I associated, wow, that's how he got the Cadillac. Mm. And from that point on, I went to a really great elementary school, junior high school. But right in junior high school, like what's happening today, Michael, someone, you know, in high schools today, they're coming through with black tar heroin mixed with Tylenol, and it's not some guy in the alleyway, but it's kid to kid, and that's how I got turned on to drugs. A young man that was in my class pulled out a bag of meth tabs and said, hey, for $3 you can have one, and I didn't like it, but then I said, you know what, I'd love to sell it, and I started my journey towards trying to be a kingpin at age 11.
So 11 years old, you start dealing drugs because you want to be somebody.
Yeah.
Now what does that tell us, though, just about the potential influence of TV, of movies, on a young person's mind? Do you think that you were the exception to the rule and being impacted like that? Or do you think that this stuff really... Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, the movie Scarface, there's a kingpin drug dealer There's a movie that actually Jay-Z had put together, and it's about all these kingpins out in Harlem. And when you see that movie and you see some of the documentaries that they do on this guy named AZ, he pointed to, they went to see the movie Scarface, and after seeing that movie, it's like drugs just started to come into Harlem. I mean, and they got plugged into the action, and that's where he started. So when I saw that movie, I was sitting there like, what? I said, that's my story. That's the same story. But I was 11, and he was much older. So that movie really had an impact, and that's why at one point they were going to make the movie rated X, and then not for pornography or anything like that. They said the power of this message, and it truly was powerful, and I think it had a huge negative impact on communities all across America.
You know, look, I started doing drugs because of rock music, and what really helped fuel that fire was seeing a Jimi Hendrix concert when I was 13 years old, and I wanted to be like the rock stars. And the rock stars did drugs, among other things, so that's what opened me up. You know, growing up in the suburbs of Long Island, this was a different world for me, but there was that attraction. All right, so you are now starting to deal drugs at 11 years old.
Yeah.
You don't even have street sense at 11 years old, and now you're thrown in with some pretty big fish. What happens?
Well, I found some guys, and I started to walk around from place to place, walking up to drug deals with meth tabs, because meth tabs was very hard to find. And some people were like, yeah, you got that, I'll get that. But I knew after a while that wasn't going to make the big bucks. It was going to be the crack cocaine that was going to, you know, have me have a mountaintop experience. So I started to seek out who could, in Christian words, disciple me, or who could mentor me to the top. So I found this group called the Supreme Team. Now, they were so dangerous that when they got busted, the murder rate in New York City dropped in half. That's a fact for the history books. And so I got with them, but I realized very quickly, working with them, that the only way I was going to get to the top is if I killed someone. And that's not something that I wanted to do, because they were from a rougher part of Queens, South Jamaica. And so I took the knowledge that I learned from them around age 13 and 14, launched it into the area where I grew up, in Cambria Heights, Hollis Avenue, all those kind of areas, and I started to excel. And then I had a downfall similar to yours. Beautiful girl said, hey, would you like to smoke with me? And she said, let me blow this into your mouth. She said, put your lips on mine. And she was so pretty, I did. And she blew crack and weed into my lungs.
Mm.
And then I got addicted, only for around 8 months, to smoking weed with crack in it. And that slowed me down tremendously. And I started robbing people for their money, and people were trying to harm me and hurt me. And my mother was great. She sent me down to North Carolina to get a little break. And then once I got myself straightened up a little bit, she brought me back and gave me money to pay off people that I messed up with.
The name of the book, Street God, it's an extraordinary testimony of God's life-saving power. And, you know, along the way, you think, can it get lower? Can it get worse? We're just started Pastor Demas' story. All right, I want to give away a free book courtesy of Tyndale Publishers. Caller number 5-866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Caller number 5, a free book is coming your way. Everybody else, stay tuned. I'll tell you how you're able to get a copy, to purchase a copy. All right, so how old are you now when you really start to get involved with the big guys and find out how they treat someone that uses their money for things they didn't want it used for?
Man, that was around age 15. I went with a friend, you know, that was, you know, started to hustle, you know, back with some of these guys from the team, from the Supreme Team, at age 15. And while I was working for them, one of my friends had an idea and said, we could take their money and what's called flip it. We could reinvest it and give them their money, but it'll just take a little longer. And I didn't know that was like a crime. You know, I thought it was like a peccadillo or something. So I went to the drug block, and this guy, you know, Abdul, came out. He said, yo, man, He said, "You flipped my money?" I said, "Yes." Next thing you know, I saw his hand swing, and I was out. I woke up on the floor, Dr. Brown, with blood just pouring all over my face. I said to my friend, "What happened?" He said, "Abdul smashed his phone in your skull, and it exploded, and then he tried to kick out your teeth with his boots." So I get up, I go in the store, get rubbing alcohol, put it on my head, put some Band-Aids on, you know, this Korean grocery store. I stepped out, and right away, I just went right back to work. You know, I got red tops, green tops, whatever you want. Come to me. I got the best stuff here.
All right. The story continues. The book Street God. Of course, we do have a winner, but stay tuned. We'll tell you how to get a copy of the book for yourself, and we'll give away a few more free copies today.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH. One thing that will happen when you read Pastor Demas's book, Street God, is your faith will be built up for loved ones that are lost, for people that are really down and out, for the worst sinners in your community. You'll realize, man, if God could not only save someone, then raise them up as a pastor and as a city leader, God could do anything. So to get a copy of the book, and we'll pay the postage on it, just $16 postage paid, the book Street God, call 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. It's co-authored with Dr. Angela Hunt. So this is a great combination of excellent writing and an amazing story. So to get a copy, 1-800-278-9978, and we will pay the postage for you. A little bit later, we'll give away another free book. James from Rahway, New Jersey was, works in corrections, wants to share the book there. Excellent. Wonderful. All right. So my dear brother Demas, you get beat up by a guy that's kind of a kingpin, violently beaten up, but he's got the car, he's got the prestige, he must have girls and all this. What was your ambition? What did you want to do? Who did you want to be?
I mean, I thought all that violence was just a part of the game. So I wanted to be one of the largest drug dealers in the nation. I mean, that was my dream. You know, I saw the TV show Miami Vice that followed afterwards, and I thought it was a 15-year-old drug kingpin. And I remember Crockett and Tubbs, you remember them in their hot cars, and they were saying, "We can't do anything with him because he's a minor unless we catch him on murder, because he'll just go to juvie and come right out." So I felt like I had a jail get-free card. I saw the money that was being made. I mean, one block in my neighborhood was making $150,000 a day in selling crack cocaine and heroin. So when I saw the potential, and then after I wanted to make the money, then I wanted to start opening my own businesses. You know, that was the way I was thinking. And, you know, 30 of my friends got killed in the process. We saw a lot of people die. And, you know, that's why we really wrote this book, Street God, because those kind of days are trying to come alive today in the suburbs, in urban cities, in different areas. And I was reachable. And that's the thing I want people to read and really get on Amazon. This was the number one evangelism book. I want people to read it and catch the fire and see I could reach out to these people and change their lives. And then we lay out a blueprint in the book on how it's done. We went into the worst projects. You were there, Michael. Bronx River was like one of the toughest projects in this city, and we shut down homicides for over a decade. So this is doable, and that's why we want the body of Christ to get it implemented and go get busy for Jesus. That's our heart behind putting it together.
That's an awesome heart to have. It's not just a stirring testimony. It's a strategy for community transformation through the changing of lives. And the title Street God, the name of the book, what's that about?
I mean, a street God is a person where everything in a major city that's sold in drugs, some one way or another, points back to that person. So in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, I was a kingpin drug dealer, and then there was the conversion process we can get into in a minute. But then when I started to go into the marijuana trade, they did a big bust, and then I was lined up, and I became the kingpin of marijuana for majority of the weed sold there. So all this money just flooding in, all these dreams that I had finally came true, but I was burning with emptiness. It's like some people that believe if I could only get success, oh my gosh, you know, it was my idol. And I didn't realize idols, you know, are called idols for a reason. They're empty, zero. It doesn't do it. And I know what I needed. I needed Jesus. And I hope. And what people are doing now, what I love, is they're using Street God like a Bible track. This is like the modern day Bible track. Mm-hmm. Give it to your teenager. Give it to, you know, any kid that could read. There's no cursing. It's very well done. It's clean. And it will blow them away. Because guess what? This will open the door. Kids are talking about drugs in middle school. You may say, oh, no, I can't mention that. But it's already shown in the suburbs. They're talking about it. They're using it. Heroin deaths are up by 300% right now amongst white kids 18 to 25. This is going down, and I want to equip the body of Christ to capture the mind, use it as a case study, and go out there and minister to your kid and your family before they get lost.
Name of the book, Street God. You can order a copy now. We'll pay the postage by calling 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. Let's just speak to something. And friends, I'm going to stay on a little bit longer with Pastor Dimas Celebrarius to keep listening. If you're getting out of your car, if your station only carries us for a certain period of time, just go to the website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. And when you go there, just click on the banner to listen live, or you can listen to the whole interview later today by just clicking on latest broadcast. In fact, let's just give away another book, Caller Number 7. So we're making this quick and easy. Caller Number 7, 866-348-7884. I've got a free book for you, courtesy of Tyndale Publishers. Dimas, we've got 2 minutes before the break.
Yeah.
Legalization of marijuana in different states. Is that an issue, and how does this play in with the larger drug problem in America?
It's a terrible, terrible plan. You think America's going through something now. If we legalize that, everyone knows. You know this, Michael. I mean, come on. Marijuana is the gateway to harder drugs.
Yes, it is.
And you know, there may be some that just, you know, are very strong, and I'm just going to stick with marijuana, and I'm just going to, you know, drink my beer, and that's it. But majority of people are not that strong, and it's going to lead to other drugs. And I don't want to see us go backwards where we see people walking around looking like the zombies that we were selling to in the 90s and, you know, going up to, you know, some of the leading up to the 2000s where street corners was filled with 40 people looking like they just dropped out of the zombie plane or something. We don't need to do that, and we don't need to see that. So I'm totally, totally praying that we're not that dumb. But, hey, there's some things going on right now that I'm concerned and praying for with Iran and Israel and some other things. And you know my heart towards all that. So God, I'm just praying, will step in and shut that stuff down.
Yeah, it's got to be. And the other thing is the potency of drugs now. Getting high, smoking pot today is a whole lot different than smoking pot 45 years ago when I was. Friends, this book has been called A Modern Day Cross and the Switchblade for a New Generation. You remember testimonies of people like Nikki Cruz and how they were radically saved and how that impacted a generation. Well, this is how the story of Pastor Dimas Celebrarius can impact this generation. We do have a winner for the free book, but call now to order a copy. Order a bunch of copies. 1-800-278-9978. The book, Street God. It's a riveting read. It'll change your life.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey friends, welcome back to the Line of Fire. This is Michael Brown. You are listening live. I'm coming your way from Dallas, Texas, but speaking with Pastor Dimas Celebarius in New York City. His new book, Street God. Congratulations to Susan from Ellicott City, Maryland, our winner of another free book. We'll give out another one in the next 15 minutes or so. All right, Dimas, you are filled with the things of the world. You are making all this money. You have all this influence. At the height of your drug dealing, how big were you?
I mean, we were pulling in around $250,000 a quarter. You know, we were seeing, I mean, just massive, massive pounds of marijuana go. There were marijuana spots all over areas like in Winston-Salem and some other locations. And we designed this network of being the wholesaler for everyone to come and pick up their weight. So, you know, what was so odd is, you know, it's just like we would just hear a knock at the door. Someone would come in, let me get 6 ounces, 5 ounces. So it was almost like how a guy was selling nickels or dimes, and it was a steady flow. For me, it was a steady flow of large weight. So we were constantly selling out, bringing in shipments from Texas, constantly selling out, bringing in shit. It just was on and on. And when you're at that level, you don't have to travel anymore. People would bring it to you. When you're on the low level, you got to go and travel and try to meet somebody and do all that stuff. No, I was spending so much money, it was all being dropped to me in large weight. We'd do a deal, they'd keep going and be journeying back to Texas and back again, and or going out to Florida and bringing in, you know, the kilos.
So were the police unaware of what you were doing? Did they look the other way? Did you end up in jail? What happened?
No, they were after me. I mean, you know, part of the story was I escaped. I mean, I was in New York City, got handcuffed by my parole officer, you know, and when she handcuffed me, I pulled the cuffs from the back of my, where my back to the front of me, and when she walked out the room and came back in, I leaped and ran for the door, and I started diving down flights of stairs head first, sometimes hitting the bottom like boom, and getting up and running boom, and finally made it out into the streets and eluded her, and they couldn't catch up to me. I had to dress like a woman and put a wig on the next 2 days. It was Halloween, and I caught the train back out to Winston-Salem from New York, and from that point on, I was pretty done with New York, at least for about a year or two, and then I started to kind of come back in because I knew there were other people that killed people that were, they were looking for them far more than they were looking for me.
And all the while that you've got all this outward success, what's going on inside of your heart?
Oh, man, I was empty. I mean, I was empty. You know, you're paranoid. You're wondering who's going to try to kill you. You're wondering who's going to try to snuff you out. Every knock at the door, you're hoping it's not the feds. But we developed a system of moving almost like bin Laden from place to place to place to place, so it'd be very difficult for them to get me. But by God's grace, you know, I got snatched out in the nick of time because 50 of my friends, you know, that were part of the operation at its highest height, at least those that I supplied, all got incarcerated. And at one point, my girlfriend took over the business when I came to Christ, and they rolled up on her, you know, calling her by street name, mentioning the whole operation, and yeah, we know you're with, you know, Daylight. That was my street name. And she stopped right in the nick of time. So, God, I eluded, you know, William Bennett, the drug czar, but God, I couldn't dodge.
Got it. All right, we will be right back with Pastor Dimas Celebarius, the book, Street God.
Oh, God of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown coming your way live from Dallas, Texas. Let's give away another copy of Street God, courtesy of Tyndale Publishers. We'll make this another quick one. Caller number 6-866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Caller number 6, a free copy of Street God by Pastor Demas Silverius and Dr. Angela Hunt is coming your way. Demas, we've got about 10 minutes of your time to still talk about this. I've got some staff asking if you've sold the movie rights to your story yet. I mean, it seems like out of a movie, but it certainly is more dramatic and extreme because of what God does out of it. But let's just talk to something. And then I want to find out how you hit bottom and how God saved you and what's happened since. We'll give the short version. People have to get the book Street God to get the whole story. But talk to young people who are listening, who think that this is really cool, that, you know, having all this money and this power and influence, and you probably got girls at your fingertips, and you're supplying drugs, you can get things out of people, and you are the man, and you're living high off the hog. Man, that's the way to live, as crazy as it is. And having come out of drugs myself, although it was a short time, but I was down deep for a couple of years and then radically saved. You lived in it. You were in the thick of it and all the dealing for years and the whole criminal system. Talk some reality to people listening.
I would say to a young person that's found, number one, I crushed my mother's heart, crushed her. And that took years to repair. Another thing, 30 of my friends are dead. They're gone. I mean, shot, killed, one murdered by a police officer, never made a paper, several different things like that. I'm one of the only ones standing because I accepted Jesus. And the same hitman came to kill me. And you need to read about what happened in the book. But Jesus showed up. And I cannot tell you like I would like to, you know, to express, don't even play with the game, because the game is real. And the very person that came to kill me, I thought was a close friend. So things change, ambitions change. Once you start to see real money come into play, and some of these guys, you know, died brutal deaths. One was stabbed 20-something times and thrown in a dumpster, and he thought he just got in the car to do a deal. So, you know, and you'll see over and over again, there were so many close calls, you know, where people wanted to murder me, you know, but God had a different plan. And I thank God, just like War Room, I had a praying mother, and I made my mother become a serious follower of Christ, because she thought it was over. And I can't stress that enough to young people.
It's reality, friends. Your sin does find you out. There may be pleasure for a season. There may be excitement, exhilaration for a season, but it ends. And thanks, we do have a winner. Thank you, so no more calls. And friends, you can get the book by calling 1-800-278-9978. We've got some copies reserved for you, 1-800-278-9978. We'll pay the postage as well. So congratulations on the free book, Rhonda from Randolph, Massachusetts. But everybody else, order a bunch of copies. Not too early to get holiday gifts for people. Get a copy for your pastor as well, the book Street God. So, Demas, when did you hit bottom? When did you really start to pay for your sins?
Well, there was witchcraft that got involved. There was a drug boss whose girlfriend was a witch. And a lot of people are like, what? I don't believe in that. Let me tell you, it's the demonic world is real. And every person that got connected with her ended up in a mental institution. She popped out on me, grabbed my arm, and I had to yank it from her. And she did something where I literally lost my mind. I was trying to kill myself while inside of me was trying to stop myself. And it wasn't until, you know, I remember I called my mother up, even though I was on the run, something I said I wasn't going to do. I said, Ma, I need help. She said, go to church. I said, I need real help. And I slammed the phone down. And but three ladies came out, just like the mother you'll see in that movie War Room, and I'm not promoting them because of any other reason. There were three grandmothers like that that said, young man, can we pray for you? And I said, yes. I didn't know what I was getting into. They laid hands on me. They prayed for me. Next thing you know, this evil spirit left out of me. And I took all the crack in my pocket. I threw it in the garbage. And I said, I am done. I am done, God. I am finished with selling crack. I'm just going to sell marijuana because it's natural. And I was totally confused. But God used the wealth of the wicked to pay the just, and I went to church and was tithing for a long block of time all the money from our marijuana business into a church until I got discipled. Then I had to come to New York and turn myself in, and that was really tough, watching my girlfriend go with other guys, all this kind of stuff. But God called me out, saved my life, and by the power of Jesus, the favor fell on that judge. I was facing 7 years, and God stepped in. And that's going to blow you away. These are things you want to read on your own and see how God showed up. And then we move on to show how after a felony, how you can get back and follow God. Now I'm the president of the largest pastors organization in New York City that's called the Concerts of Prayer. And God has been doing phenomenal things with television, radio, and I'm a colleague of Dr. Michael Brown. So I'm humbled and glad. And if you haven't had him preach at your church, you need to call Line of Fire. This guy brings the heat, and our church was so blessed to have you in the Bronx, and you had a great impact with us.
Oh, listen, man, it was. I love that kind of environment. I'm not an inner-city person myself, but there's a certain reality there. There's a certain hardcore truth about life. You know, you're not just talking abstract philosophy about the Bible, you know. I remember when David Wilkerson started Times Square Church in New York City. I believe it was Pastor Jim Cimbala said, it was like a few days after they had started, getting a phone call because they got babies in the nursery with AIDS, and they're trying to figure out, okay, how do you, you know, there's all kinds of real life and death situations that you face. But then, man, the testimonies are so real. When people get saved, they're saved. When people get saved, they realize, okay, I was really lost and now I'm found, and they want to do something for God. So it looks like God had a calling and purpose on your life for some significant things, and the enemy took those gifts and that stature you had to be somebody and used it to destroy you. People need to know the devil has nothing good to offer anybody. It may feel good for a little while. It may excite for a little while. It may give you certain power for a little while, but it's never worth it. The one sure thing about sin when you're done is it is not worth it. You know, I'm just looking, our latest winner of your book, Street God, is planning to share it with someone in prison. Have you heard testimonies? I mean, the book is just out, but some of the endorsements you got are phenomenal.
Love this, Michael. We did a book signing. Girl came in. This is right up your alleyway. She said, I am through with homosexuality. After I read this book and I saw how you dived in fully with Jesus, she said, I am diving in with Jesus. I told my girlfriend, it's over. She said, I'm plugged in with the church. I'm going forward. I mean, there's testimony. I mean, correction officers that called. That's not uncommon. Correction officers are buying this book left and right. Mothers are buying this book. I get calls from kids coming to Christ from reading this book. I got family guys that are like, yo, I had secret sins in my life that I've kicked out because of reading Street God and seeing what it is. So God let me go through all of that. And it's painful. It's still hard. I have flashbacks, dreams, different things. But right now, it's winning so many people to Jesus. I'm not saying that for any other reason, to be honest, that a lot of people in organizations right now are like, this is better than a track. It takes you deep. It impacts the heart. is turning atheists into followers. This, I mean, God is all in this, and I'm humbled. And for your staff, we've had 10 movie approaches so far.
Are you serious?
Different companies.
Oh, come on, man.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
So,
hey, listen. If when you cast the thing, if you need some white Jewish follower of Jesus to have some role, man, maybe clean in the building in the back or something like that, or honorary soul brother. No, seriously though, it's amazing. And awesome. Listen, just knowing the rest of your story, friends, the book is even better than what you heard on the radio so far. Can't wait to see you again in the city and visit your flock again. God bless you, brother.
Yeah, we're gonna do it, man. Love you. Stay on the front lines, man. You're a hero out here in New York City, and I mean that.
Send it, Lord. It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yeah, what a story, what a testimony of divine intervention. This is Michael Brown. You are listening live to the lineup. Well, I don't know if you're listening live, but I'm broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas. So let me just tell you a quick story here. I get into the hotel, flew in from Charlotte, North Carolina, get into Dallas last night, and notice there is no Ethernet cable, which is what I need for my portable radio unit. I've got this great little unit. It's an expensive little unit I travel with. I plug in an Ethernet cable. Excuse me. So for those who are not familiar with internet, this is a cable connection as opposed to a wireless connection to the internet. And that hooks up my unit in a secure way. And then I get on wirelessly from my computer and hook into the studio through that. So wherever I am, we can do a studio level broadcast. Our great engineer Joey on top of things in Winston-Salem, then it goes by satellite through Dallas. And it's kind of a wild connection, but this is how it goes, real time, live around the world. Well, they put me in the wrong room. It didn't have Ethernet cable. I ended up then having to move rooms, literally get housekeeping in. They switched me to another room. People help me carry stuff from one room to another. We get in there, I get all set up, and I notice the connection stops. We're working, everything's good, and then boom, it stops. So we call tech support. Thankfully, they rushed right up to the room. We were able to figure out what the problem was, and literally with 5 minutes before the show, they put me in a special meeting room of my own with a special dedicated connection so we can come your way. So my shout out to Hyatt Regency at DFW Airport for really saving the day. So, friends, maybe you haven't gotten as far into drugs or sins of the flesh as Dimas Celibarius did before Jesus saved him. Maybe you didn't do the things I did. I dealt drugs, but not on the level that he did. Shot heroin and maybe did worse drugs in my life than he did, but he was much more involved in the whole crime scene and all of that, of course. But whoever you are, you need a savior. Listen, if you can't swim and you're in water that's 20 feet deep, you're going to drown. Just the same way you drown in water that was 10 feet deep, or even 20 feet deep, or 100 feet deep, you're going to drown the same way because you're in over your head and you can't swim. We all need a savior. And often the people that come running to the Lord are the ones who really hit bottom and realize they're messed up. They're depressed. They're suicidal. They've got some terrible disease. They've had an economic collapse. They're heavily addicted. But friends, those who are drowning in 10 feet of water need a savior the same way. Maybe your sins are not as obvious as Pastor Demas's were or mine were. Maybe they're not as obvious as some criminal. Maybe they're not as obvious as some stripper. Maybe they're not as obvious as someone else that is outwardly sinning, but we're all lost outside of Jesus. When we stand before God and his perfection and his holiness and his beauty and his wonder, we realize how unclean we are. When I was in Holland earlier this year, my last meal before going to the airport, I sat down with the director of our ministry school, Fire School of Ministry in Rotterdam in Holland, which is serving Europe, English speakers in Europe. And I sat down with Frank to have a meal. And I was having salad, as I normally do, as a big meal each day. And while sitting there, we were at a table that was completely white. Whatever the surface was, it was an all-white table. So I sprinkled on some of my balsamic vinaigrette light dressing. I sprinkled it on the salad. And when I went to eat, I noticed that there were little drops of the dressing all around my bowl and on the table. And I thought to myself, that is probably what happens whenever I eat. I make a little bit of a mess, but because the tables are normally dark, you don't see it. But when you now sprinkle things and it falls on the white, suddenly, oh my, you realize I just made a mess. Well, that's how our lives are compared against the perfect whiteness of God, the perfect purity of God, that our sins become dark, ugly stains. And on the day you stand before God, when he begins to list your sins and my sins, and we suddenly realize I'm a million times worse than I thought, and all these wrong things I thought. Sir, maybe you haven't slept with another woman, but how many women have you slept with in your mind? Ma'am, maybe you haven't killed someone, but what words have you spoken against others, and what thoughts have you thought against others? We realize I'm guilty. I'm guilty in the sight of a holy God, and I should be damned. But God sent his son Jesus to take your place and to take my place. He died for every sin we ever committed. He died for those sins that seem big, big, monstrously big. And he died for those sins that seem small to us. He died so that we could have a new life. He paid the debt we could never pay. It's like owing the credit card company not $1,000 or $100,000, but $100 billion. There's no way you could ever pay that back. Jesus paid it all. And if we say, God, have mercy on me, I've sinned against you, wash me clean through the blood of Jesus, give me a new life, he will give you new life. And from here on, you now live to do your Father's will, forgiven as a new person in Jesus. So if that's you, if you're really needing God and you've prayed, you've said, God, have mercy on me, forgive me, wash me clean, I want to lead a new life, shoot us a note, will you? Shoot us a note through our website. Just write to info@askdrbrown.org, info@askdrbrown.org, and say, hey, I've cried out to God to get right with him. And we will point you to some resources and help you get on the next step. And let me encourage everyone listening, get this inspirational book, Street God. You know, you start reading it, it's like reading one of these great fiction books that pulls you right in and you have to keep reading it. The story is dramatic. The story is amazing. The story gets very dark, and Jesus shines in the midst of it. If you've got a kid that's away from God, a family member that's not saved, if you want to reach out to someone in prison, if you just want your own heart to be encouraged, the book that's being called The Cross and the Switchblade for a New Generation. We'll pay the postage. Call us to order 1-800-278-9978. Order a few copies, one for yourself and for a friend or two to bless or maybe someone in need. 1-800-278-9978. $16 postage paid for the book. You'll also be helping us as you order through us as well. 1-800-278-9978 to order your copy of Street God. My bottom line today, we really serve a real Savior. Not some figment of our religious imaginations, but someone who saves from the guttermost. Well, what is God saying to America today? And what are we to do as the Church of America?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, I am here in Dallas, Texas, broadcasting live on the Line of Fire tonight, just a few hours from now. Should be recording for Life Today TV with Reverend James Robison, talking about my new book, Outlasting the Gay Revolution, talking about having hearts of compassion, backbones of steel. If you're anywhere in the greater Dallas-Fort Worth area and can make it, be part of the live audience today, just go to the Life Today website. You can get a ticket through that, and you will get free entry. We'd love to have a great live audience for the broadcast tonight. In a moment, I'm going to be bringing Reverend Robison onto the air to talk about what's the Spirit saying? Where are we at today in the body? How do we respond today as the church? Things are in upheaval. We've got elections coming up. What's the Spirit saying? How do we respond? What's the right course of action for us? But I want to encourage you, friends. I want to encourage you. The last hour, I did an interview with a friend of mine who is a pastor in the Bronx, New York, who's had a great impact for the gospel in the Bronx, New York. I preached for him at a church that meets right in the middle of the projects in the Bronx. You're talking inner city. And had a great time ministering for him. But he's got a new book out, Street God, an extraordinary testimony. Here he was dealing drugs at the age of 11. Here you've got somebody who was really lost, really messed up, became a drug kingpin, ended up having to turn himself in to the authorities once he got saved. Great, great testimony. I'm not being trite when I say this, but Jesus really is the answer. I'm not being trite when I say that no matter what situation you find yourself in, Jesus really is the answer. I'm not being trite when I say no matter how low, no matter how far you've gone, no matter how far America has gone, no matter how far a family member has gone, Jesus really is the answer. He really does transform. He really does save. So often here on the Line of Fire, we talk about things that are messed up in America. We talk about problems in the world, Israel, Iran. We talk about lots of things that are difficult. We talk about moral decline in America, but it's never without hope because we know the Lord. It's never without hope because Jesus is the Savior 24/7. And I posted this, sent it out the other day. My focus is not on a big bad devil. My focus is on a great big God. So everything I do is with hope because Jesus is risen and Jesus has ascended and he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. So whatever I do with hope, I do with expectation, I do with faith, because we serve a living God. There is therefore no fear. I may be grieved about things that I see happening in the world all around me, but there is no fear because I know that Jesus is Lord. I know that God, my Father, is King, and I know that no matter what we go through in this world, his reality is the highest and greatest reality. So we come back. I'm going to be speaking with Reverend James Robison. We're going to be talking about The Stream, this incredible online resource for the body, for America. But how should we respond? What's the Spirit saying in the midst of crisis, in the midst of all kinds of crazy things happening, and now another presidential debate coming up, and what's going to happen with that, and where are we going? We're going to talk things that will build your faith and point you back to the one who ultimately has the answers and to the living word of the living God, which is our very foundations. A little bit later in the broadcast, I'll take your calls at 866-34-TRUTH. Maybe I'll give away a free copy of Street God as well in this second hour. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, the world is in upheaval all around us, but it's always been upheaval. It's always been in upheaval since the fall. The world has been messed up since the fall. It's nothing new that it's messed up today. That means the needs are great. That needs means the needs are urgent, but it also means that we have no reason to panic because Jesus is Lord. I'm burdened, I'm grieved, but I'm full of faith, hope, and confidence. And my guest, Reverend James Robison, a significant Christian leader in this generation, from his years of preaching around America to large crowds and multiplied thousands, millions hearing the gospel over the years, his TV broadcast, his compassionate outreach around the world, his connection to bring others together in the body. He's touched many of you listening. We had a great time meeting together this morning. James, it's great to have you back on the Line of Fire. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. May I call you Michael?
Oh, yes, please, please. You've insisted I call you James, so you've got to call me Michael. What's your state of mind these days? You've been around. You've seen a lot. America's in rough condition right now. Some of the church is not in the best condition. What's your own state of mind?
Well, you know, Donald Trump was here last night, and I think he's venting for a lot of frustrated, fed-up Americans, including Christians. I think that he and Dr. Carson both have made it very clear they have no respect or room for political correctness. And I think most of us who are at least sensible in our thinking and believe that there are principles that matter, agree with that. So there's an article on the stream today by Steve Deese, 9 Reasons Why Trump is Rising, stream.org. I wish everyone would read that. Your article is at the top, referencing the fact that some Christians are actually being compared with ISIS.
Yep.
You're becoming one of the more prevalent contributors to the stream, and I really appreciate it. I think that article about why Trump is rising should be read by every candidate. But you know, one of the things I think we better really be concerned about as Christians, and really as anyone who loves freedom and family and believes faith is important, we need to not simply look at the challenges and problems, because they are very real and they are dangerously looming. I think we need to look at who can most effectively address those challenges and who will, in fact, address them, and who will lead the necessary coalition toward correction. That's what we better be looking for and praying about.
Now, you mentioned the stream. It's my joy to be able to contribute and write for it. This is really a vision that God gave you after much prayer. We're talking about the stream.org, so just go to stream.org. You'll get the latest news. You'll get godly perspectives. You'll get godly commentary on what's happening, and in all in a way that's pointing in the same direction. How did you birth this? How did God lay it on your heart? What's the purpose of this?
Well, Psalm 46:4 says there is a stream whose there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Everywhere a river flows, life springs up. A river is fed by tributaries, and it feeds downstream tributaries and creeks. In the stream of God makes the people of God and caring people glad. That stream is, I believe, fed by people who are filled with wisdom and who understand that there is a solid rock upon which you can build a secure life, family, relationships, and future. Jesus referred to that rock, withstanding the storms that are sure to come, and he also referred to the foolishness of building on the sand. So the stream is something that was birthed beginning in the actual hotel where you and I met, where Billy Graham called a meeting that actually impacted history, and I believe in so many ways had a positive effect on saving freedom and the collapse of the Soviet Union. And it was born in prayer in that hotel. Mm. Well, the stream actually began several years ago through prayer, where we were looking for a way to stream truth and knowledge and wisdom that could not be ignored or set aside by a very biased media. And the Lord answered our prayers. And it wasn't a quick answer. It came over a period of time with people coming together, beyond their sectarian walls, points of division, and it was as though love and compassion lifted us above those walls until we became really and truly a family, a body, and in many ways a mighty army to stand against the force that's being released by the gates of hell and the deception. And so the stream actually is Ravi Zacharias, who we just heard on your program. He said this is, in his opinion, the new Roman road. He said everyone is one touch away from access to the truth that transforms hearts and minds, and the media cannot ignore it. If people want the truth, they can now access it. Mm. They don't have to wait for some news media source, some major, you know, or drive-by media, I think as Rush refers to them so often.
Yep.
They don't have to wait on them. They can go to the stream, and they will get there, Michael. They will get news that is important, but not only news that's important, but news that matters that the media may overlook or should matter to people. And then in addition to that, as with your voice, so many others like Robbie and many we respect, they will get the voices of truth and wisdom for the glory of God and the benefit of all. And that's the reason stream is in my opinion, an answered prayer.
Yeah, and it's absolutely unique. You know, folks, for example, go to Drudge Report, which is, if you want to know what Rush Limbaugh is going to talk about on the radio, just look at the headlines on Drudge. And when you go there, when you go there, you'll see the latest news. Now, some of it's also going to be raunchy stuff that you don't want to see, but you're not going to get godly commentary. You're not going to get godly perspective. You're not going to be able to click on that same link and then go from that link. Now you can, you go from that link and here's another link. You can hear the gospel. Here's another link where you can find out what the Holy Spirit's doing in different parts of the world and exciting testimonies. So there is no website in the world that I know of that's the equivalent of the stream. Again, stream.org. And one article that James just mentioned by Steve Dace, 9 things you need to learn about Trump, understand about Donald Trump. It's a very insightful article. And what he's saying is, hey, if you're a political candidate and you want to take him on, if you're a political candidate and you want to go after him, you better know these things, because if you don't know these things, people are not going to they're going to react wrongly to you. They're going to react wrongly to you, and because of that, you're not going to succeed. Dear brother, you've known political candidates. You've known presidents. You see what's out there. We've got some fine people who seem to know the Lord who are running for office. Can an elected official really make a big difference in America? Are we putting too much hope in saying if God could really raise somebody up, that it would make a difference? Should we really be praying for God's man to be raised up to lead America?
I think we should be not only praying for someone to lead as a president and vice president, but every representative, all the way down to your city council and your school boards. The Christians who function as salt and light will recognize that they absolutely must have an impact. We make a kingdom imprint on planet Earth. We don't hand planet Earth over to the destroyer of life and meaning and purpose and joy and peace. We have been put here for a purpose. We have been left here as witnesses of the kingdom and the will of God. So we can find a leader. But if you put a perfect leader in the White House and you've got a perverse population that have been deceived and they bought the lie, you're never going to be able to change things. We'll have mobocracy, because in a democracy, the majority rules, even when the majority is terribly wrong. So we're going to have to pray for the right leaders. But we actually need to pray for people in every community, every subdivision, every city, every state, who believe that principles matter and believe in truth. These people are going to have to become active and actually become what Jesus said we were left here to be, salt and light. Salt preserves and protects the precious. Light illuminates the way. It exposes danger and error. And so Christians have to be who Jesus said we were left here to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And friends, it's not too late. God can turn the tide. And in the midst of it, there can be a great harvest. And James, I look forward to more time as you or editors for the Stream are able to join us on a regular basis and keep folks in tune with what's happening, equip them, give them a godly place to get the news, a one stop for all. And we just got a few seconds, but as we've built a relationship recently, begin to speak the end of last year, get to know each other better, what blesses me the most is you're always pointing to Jesus and you're always doing it with love for people. And in the little bit we've been able to spend time together, that is already impacting my life. So I thank you for that, dear brother.
Well, thank you. But if we're going to see Jesus the way he desires to be seen, we've got to see him in his body, not just some bodies or parts of the body. We need to see the whole body submit to the headship of Christ, rightly connect to one another, and become a healthy source of influence in the world.
That's it. That's the gospel. That's the church.
God of light, hear our cry, send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I want to give away a free copy of an amazing book about an amazing story, Street God, Pastor Dimas Celebaris, together with Dr. Angela Hunt. I mean, you start reading the book, here's a kid on the streets in New York selling drugs at 11, brutally beaten up by a drug lord. Then it's he wants to be that. He wants to be more. He wants to be a street god. How he goes up to the top of his drug industry, sees 30 of his friends killed, die in different ways. And God wonderfully saves him and makes him a key pastor in greater New York City area. It's an amazing read. We'll tell you how you can get a copy. We'll pay the postage when you order. But let's give away a free copy to caller number 8. The number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. That's the number to call for a free copy of an amazing story. It's being called The Cross and the Switchblade for This Generation. I found out in the first hour that Pastor Dimas has had 10 different offers to make it into a movie already, and it's basically hot off the press. 866-34-TRUTH to get a free copy of Street God by Pastor Dimas Celebaris. All right, Celebaris. Let's go to Manhattan. We'll go back to New York. Jim, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, glad to have you on the air.
I wanted to talk about, I've been starting to read through your book, Can You Be Gay and Christian? And I want to reach out and challenge the LGBT advocacy and agenda, but I don't know how to atone and speak for all these bigots that we see on the TV news. I work for a cable news network, which I won't mention here, but yesterday my producer told me that he went to Rowan County, Kentucky to cover the Kim Davis affair, and he witnessed scores of Christians and pastors shouting, pervert, sodomite, it's not about love, it's about lust. And yet when he went to interview pastors, suddenly they cleared up and smiled and talked about representing Jesus loves you, church, et cetera. Mm. My fear is that the vast majority of Christian representation on issues is like this. And yes, guys like you and James White and Jeff Durbin offer intellectually respectable responses to gay activism, but it seems to me that the vast majority of Christians respond in this hateful way as a mob of people who yell, you know, sodomite and hold up signs with Leviticus 18:20 and, you know, I want to reach out and challenge this, but they fire right back and say, look at this, look at this, look at this, look at this. And I can say, well, that's not me, but I think I'm in the extreme minority. I'm one among millions who can respond that way, but I just feel very discouraged and silenced, and I don't know if you could comment on that or not.
Yeah, well, you are addressing a real problem, and by the way, friends, we do have a winner, so no more calls. Thank you so much. We do have a winner for the free book. I understand why you can be discouraged with a lot of what's out there. And sometimes some Christians think the louder they yell and the more extreme their rhetoric, that the holier they are or the godlier they are. And the more they yell out, you know, homosexuality is an abomination, the louder they say it and put it in all caps and quote from Leviticus 18:22 in the King James, that somehow they're doing God's work more effectively. And I appreciate boldness and I appreciate fearlessness, but there's also something that's just loud. And that, like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, if it doesn't have love, it's just like a clanging cymbal. And because of that, we can often do more harm than good. Now, let me address things practically. And congratulations, Kamala from Charlotte, North Carolina. you will really be blessed by this book. Okay. Number one, on a grassroots level, I think it's much better than that. On a grassroots level, just in terms of people reaching family, friends, neighbors, I think there is a lot of love. I think there are people that care. I've had enough people come to me with tears over family members that have come out as gay or lesbian or bisexual, transgender, and they're trying to figure out how to reach them, and they genuinely love. But many people just don't know how to address issues. And when they get challenged, they respond in these ways that, even if there's some truth to what they're saying, often do more harm than good. They drive people away. That's why, as you know from Can You Be Gay and Christian, I have publicly apologized on a number of occasions, most recently just last week, I think, for the hypocrisy of the church, for lack of compassion towards those struggling with same-sex attraction, for the impression that, you know, this is the biggest and worst sin of all, for pushing people away rather than for drawing them in. And because of that, my heart's grieved the same way yours is. But I see over and over and over again, wherever I address these issues, when I speak on Can You Be Gay and Christian, in fact, everyone listening to me in Greater Charlotte, North Carolina, where our last caller was a winner of a free book, everyone in Greater Charlotte, North Carolina, this coming Sunday night, so September 20th, I'm doing a talk at a key church in Kannapolis, Refuge Church, 6 to 8 in the evening, Can You Be Gay and Christian? And we'll have an hour talk, hour of Q&A, so 6 to 8, Sunday night at the Refuge in Kannapolis. It's all on my itinerary at AskDrBrown.org. But Jim, when I've done these talks, this is what's in people's hearts. I get flooded with pastors, with individuals coming up to me and thanking me for joining Grace Together with Truth. And it's because it's in my heart. It's not a put-on thing. So what I would do is pray, excuse me, number one, that God would break our hearts with the things that break his heart, that God would give us a heart that really loves and cares, a heart that is concerned, that's not just putting on an outward show, that he'd break our hearts, that he'd baptize the body of Christ with a supernatural love for those who identify as LGBT, that we'd have backbones of steel with hearts of compassion. And then, then at the same time, that he would really help equip leaders, and that leaders in turn could equip others. That's a major reason that I wrote Can You Be Gay and Christian, knowing how urgent the need is, and knowing that people want to do the right thing. That's what you have to hold on to. They want to do the right thing. They're threatened by what they see in gay activism. They're threatened by what they see in the media, by what they see in some gay pride event in their city. And they are reacting in a way that's often more harmful than helpful.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, thank you. That's very refreshing. I mean, we get passionate. We get, you know, we see what this is. We see the deception. And I'm very offended when this is compared, you know, when we invoke love and the compassion of Jesus and then say that this is, you know, that loving people is affirming the sin that they're in. So, but I, you know, and I want to respond because I do see it on both sides, but it's hard because I have to contend with all of that. It's like I have to apologize for, you know, I have to constantly apologize for, you know, and keep that in mind. But yeah, my audience is very different up here in New York City. So.
Yeah, and the thing is, look, on a one-on-one level, build bridges. On a one-on-one level, reach out and love. In a one-on-one level, let people know that you really do care, and they'll feel it. It'll make an impact. They'll know it's real, and God can use you to bring individuals to him. And then keep praying for God to raise up the right voices. There are a good number of people out there full of love who are speaking the truth. Pray that God will give them the right exposure before the media. But thank you for the call. And if you're listening and you identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, and you're listening and saying, I've been rejected, I've been put out, I am terribly sorry for rejection that you may have experienced in the body, I want to tell you that Jesus does care and he does have a better way for you. Friends, get a copy of Street God. In fact, I'll tell you a story about Street God when we come back. Stay right there.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yes, so let me tell you this amazing story about the book Street God. Just heard it in the last hour from Dimas Celebaris. It's his life story, an amazing testimony of transformation through the gospel, from dealing drugs at the age of 11 to, well, as messed up as you could be, and then Jesus miraculously saved him. He meets someone the other day. A woman comes up to him and says, "I am leaving homosexuality." What? "I'm leaving homosexuality." She read his book and saw the power of the gospel to change lives and said, "I'm leaving homosexuality." Whatever stronghold is in your life, whatever is going on in your life that is contrary to God's plan for you, contrary to God's best for you, Jesus is the Savior. And he works in different ways in different lives, but I want you to know there's no obstacle too great for him. There is no power too great for him. There is no situation too great for him. We're talking about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I want to encourage you, whoever you are, wherever you are, to call out to him for mercy. Wherever you find yourself, "God, save me." There have been times, even as a believer, that I felt trapped, that I felt just oppressed. I felt caught up in something and didn't know how to break out. And I cried out and I said, "God," I said, "demonstrate the power of the resurrection in my life. Demonstrate to me and to the world that Jesus really saves." If all we have is just another religion where we have to try harder and work harder, it's not the gospel. It's not the gospel. Supernatural intervention by the power of the Spirit. And it's not just for when you first come to faith. It's something that God can continue to work in our lives, especially during times of crisis. So to get a copy of this book that's being called The Cross and the Switchblade for This Generation, Street God, give us a call. $16. We'll pay the postage on this book. It's a great, great read. Give us a call now, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. Let me change gears, and let me address something. Are you listening to me right now, and you are surprised that there has not been some type of massive, calamitous event so far in September? You're surprised because the stock market didn't crash. You're surprised because there has not been some major disaster or war or something that you really thought that things were going to be unfolding a certain way this month. Maybe they still will. And you're kind of wondering, like, what's up? Or are you one of those who said, all this hype, all this stuff about the end of the world, all this stuff about September and the high holy days and the mystery of the Shemitah and the Harbinger, I think it's just the latest round of silliness. I think it's just the latest round of date setting. And I've had no hope in any of this happening at all. I know that this September is going to be no different than last September. Maybe that's been your attitude. I want to talk about this on a practical level. There is end time prophecy. There are things that the Bible does talk about. And there are other things that are just sensationalism. I just looked at a note on my Facebook page from Donna. "Can you address the growing trend that Christians need to prepare for hard times ahead by keeping cash and supplies on hand?" How do we respond to that? Should we be putting things aside because everything's about to collapse? Is that the type of the sky is falling mentality that's been so destructive in our history? How do we separate living with urgency in the end times from living in a silly, unbiblical way? We'll talk about that when we come back. 866-34-TRUTH. If you have a question you want to ask me relative to the Bible, relative to prophecy, the end times, even the significance of the high holy days, the Jewish calendar, the biblical calendar, give us a call, 866-34-TRUTH.
Flame, send the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on The Line of Fire. Coming your way live from DFW area, Dallas-Fort Worth area. I'll be recording for Life Today TV with Reverend James Robison tonight, talking about my new book, Outlasting the Gay Revolution, Where Homosexual Activism is Really Going, and How to Turn the Tide. 866-34-TRUTH. The Four Blood Moons, the mystery of the Shemitah, the Harbinger. How do we relate to these things? On the one hand, I absolutely have no taste whatsoever for end time sensationalism, date setting. This is it. It's all going to collapse. It's all over. I got saved in 71. We were told Jesus was coming at any moment. There was a sense of everything lining up. America's falling apart. The counterculture revolution of the 60s. Just look at what's happened. And then we've got Jerusalem coming back into Jewish hands in the Six-Day War in 1967. And the clock is ticking and Jesus is coming. And, well, it didn't happen. On the one hand, we should always live with a sense of urgency because, hey, maybe we have 70, 80 years here in this world or 90 years, however much of that we can really use for serving God effectively. So on the one hand, we should live with urgency because it's a fallen world, and people need Jesus, and there are desperate times always. So we want to live lives that count. On the other hand, the whole date setting. And any minute that, you know, this kind of living can be very unrealistic, has been wrong every time so far. So what I've resonated with my friend Jonathan Kahn, is that the biblical calendar still matters, that the clock on the biblical calendar is still ticking in different ways. That's A. And B, that God is seeking to get the attention of the nation and that he's shaking us in judgment. Those two things I resonate with deeply. And because of that, I have been blessed to see the distribution of his books that's taken place quite supernaturally in the last few years. At the same time, I am not one, and neither is Jonathan, by the way, that's setting dates and that's even saying this is going to happen, that's going to happen. With the Four Blood Moons, I had different guests on my show. I had, from Reasons to Believe, I had a Christian astronomer and a Christian philosopher who gave their reasons. Biblical thinking, historical thinking, theological thinking, as to why we should put no stock whatsoever in the four blood moon phenomenon. That was on the one hand. On the other hand, I had a guest on who wrote a book on the four blood moons. And he made a very strong case for why we should take this seriously. And my counsel to listeners was watch and see. Watch and see. So my attitude is I'm living with urgency always because the clock is ticking, because we have an assignment here in this world, because the devil is working overtime, because people need Jesus, because the world is messed up, because lives are in the balance, and we have the message and we have the answer, and boom, we are right in the middle of it. This on the one hand. On the other hand, I'm living with multi-generational vision. I'm living seeking to raise up young people to go around the world preaching the gospel and for them to make disciples and for their disciples to make disciples. We've got grandkids now. Our oldest granddaughter is a teenager. That means not that many years from now we could be great grandkids. What about the calling on their lives? What about the purposes of God for them? So I have a mentality of urgency, but without a specific calendar being associated with it in terms of it's this year, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. So honestly, when the tragedy of 9/11 took place in 2001, that agonizing day that affected so many in America, that affects so many to this day, that really was an international tragedy, and one that was brought on by people. It wasn't like an earthquake, and why did this happen? I mean, this was people doing evil against other people. That there was a sense of urgency through the whole nation. I remember thinking, nothing's different on my end. Painful, horrific day, but I live with the same sense of urgency every day. Does that make sense to you? 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to High Point, North Carolina, Orlando. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Yeah, good afternoon, Dr. Brown.
Good afternoon.
My question deals with the calendar, the Jewish
yes.
calendar. A Jewish calendar will start usually on the when the sliver of the moon comes out, right?
Okay, yeah, well, when you have the sighting of the moon or the full moon, but the monthly calendar is based on the sighting of the moon, and that's how things are computed.
Well, it was supposed to be on Sunday night. It started, trumpet, never came out. Monday night, it was clear, as crystal clear, and it never came out last night. I've been looking for it, and it wasn't there. So actually, the trumpets have not started yet.
All right, so you're sure that no one has sighted the moon? Tell you what, you're the first.
I'm sure, but according to NASA, which I went to NASA, they say it was there, but I did not see it.
Yeah, well, you don't have to see it here. As long as it's seen in Israel, then that's the only yeah. real issue.
Yeah, that's the issue is it was seen in Israel.
Yeah, but, I mean, listen, there are Jews to this day called Karaite Jews who are looking and, waiting. That they wait until there's the official word that the new moon has been sighted. And when the new moon has been sighted, then they know to go ahead, you know, with the festival or the special days and things like that. I mean, obviously, you could be pretty well predicted. Yeah, so you may not see it, sir, because of weather issues, but as long as it's sighted, then it's good. But here's the other thing. There's now a calendar, so that traditional Judaism has set a calendar based on the expected lunar calendar. And they're not actually waiting for the actual sighting to confirm it. But the reason that Jews around the world celebrate the new year for 2 days instead of for 1 day, as it's prescribed in the Bible it's just the celebration of trumpets. It's not even a New Year's festivity, the first day of the seventh month. But the reason it's 2 days, one reason is that it would take a while in the ancient world to get word out that the new moon had been sighted. So to make sure that everyone could participate adequately, there would be a 2-day period to make sure that word got out. Now it's just the custom. But thank you, sir, for the call. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Elizabeth in Wake Forest. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello.
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 Yes, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes. Well, I wanted to comment about what you said about the end of time. When I was a child, I was taught in church that we are to have our souls ready at any time for impending death. And I do believe the end of times are coming with the world as crazy as it is. And I think we all need to know that every day we should have our soul ready for parting.
Yeah, look, if we live in readiness for eternity, right? If we live in readiness for eternity, whatever situation we find ourselves in, then we'll live sober lives. In other words, did the apostles live sober lives in the first century, even though it turns out Jesus was not going to come for another 2,000 years? Yes, they did. Did Charles Spurgeon live a sober life in the 1800s? Yes, he did. You can go down through the centuries and say, did this one live a sober life? Did John Bunyan live a sober life in the 1600s? Yes, he did. So regardless of where we find ourselves in history, if we live in the light of eternity, absolutely, we will live lives that make sense, whether Jesus is coming in 2 years or 20 years or 200 years. And Elizabeth, not just that we're ready to meet him face-to-face, that's obviously the biggest thing, but that the way we live today makes sense in the light of eternity. So let me give you an example. Let's say that the way you performed on your job tomorrow was going to set your salary for the rest of your life. You might even work a little harder. You might even do a little better, or maybe a lot harder and a lot better, because the consequences would be so great. If you were told, okay, however you spend your money today, wise or unwise, that's now going to be multiplied 1,000 times for the rest of your life. You would make the best financial decisions you have ever made and would be the most generous you've ever been. What we do in this world has an eternal impact, regardless of whether Jesus is coming in 2 years, 20 years, or 200 years. We should live a life in the light of eternity, a life consistently burning bright. The other things that happen get our attention. Oh, absolutely, they get our attention. But in the end, we live in the light of eternity. Thank you for the call and the comments. I want to get to some more calls on the other side of the break. 866-34-TRUTH.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You see, according to the scriptures, we have been living in the end times since Jesus died and rose from the dead. We have been living in the last days for the last 2,000 years, which means massive, great, wonderful outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the whole earth, which means destructive, ugly acts of Satan to destroy people. In other words, God working, the devil working, and we are living in the light of eternity. The eternal age has broken into this world, and in this world, we are experiencing the world to come while living in the present world. We have the deposit of the Spirit, yet we're still here in this body, in this earth. We have eternal life, and yet our physical bodies die and we are mortal. We're seated in heavenly places, and yet we live in this world. These are the spiritual realities we live with that are the same whether Jesus is returning in 2 months or in 20 years or 200 years. These spiritual realities remain the same. Now, let me make one other point, and then I want to go back to the phones. This is Michael Brown. You are listening to The Line of Fire, your listener-supported voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. 866-34-TRUTH, the number to call. Okay, let me come at it from this angle. And I've used this before. Let's say you are on the Olympic team, the sprinting team, the 4x100. This is one of the most exciting events in all of sports. You've got the four fastest men or women on your team. They each have to run 100 meters, and the first three, they get started, they run, and then they hand the baton to the next person up until the fourth one. And the fourth one, you have your fastest one, and that person brings it home for the team. Each leg is equally important. Each leg is equally important. The one starting has to get the best start, has to have a good handoff to that second person. That second person has to be in motion, but only within certain parameters when they grab the baton, and then they have to run and pass it to the next one, and that next one to the last one. If one of them has a lousy quarter, that's going to mess up the whole race. It may be impossible for the others to overcome that. So that means wherever you find yourself in the race, you've got to run your race so as to win. If I know the goal and assignment set before me, yes, we all have the dream of seeing Jesus face to face when he returns. We're all looking forward to that. We want to be that last generation that ushers him back. We should live like that. And then if at the end of our lives that's not the case, we just hand the baton over to the next generation and they run with that same anticipation. That's how I live. That's how I live. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Dallas, where I am right now. Adrian, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Michael. I just have a question, and I'll get off the phone because my phone is kind of old, and I'll listen on the radio for you to respond. You know, we were all looking this weekend for either a crash or something major, a major storm. What if it was a quiet storm and we just missing it? Let's say the vote for the Iran nuclear treaty.
Yeah.
And also in that treaty it said if Israel would bomb Iran, America is going to go after them, be on the side of Iran. Not only that, the Pope coming talking to the UN and voting for the Palestinian state. Maybe these are the quiet storms first that's supposed to happen. And to build up to that big, perfect song we thought was going to happen this weekend.
Yes, sir. Adrian, well said. I absolutely agree with that. The Iran deal is massive. There could be other things happening. Some things started to happen with stocks in August that people were talking about. It could well be that very major things are taking place with massive implications that won't be felt for 6 months or 6 years. But when you look back, you realize a lot of it unfolded then. A lot of times when we're looking for a certain thing, it won't happen like that. But then you realize certain things did happen. And some of these are momentous. Some of these are momentous. What this could mean for the Middle East and the world, the Iran treaty, that's momentous in and of itself. And these things unfolding right at this time, and Congress not having the courage to stand up against the president in this regard, that's momentous, and it's happening right during these very days. Wise words, and I think there's a lot to it. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go over to Ogden, Utah. Shane, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown. I was just wondering what your thoughts are on the mystery Babylon, End Times Babylon, and the implications of Scripture's call for God's people to leave Babylon.
Yes, sir. Does it mean that we should leave the Catholic Church? Does it mean that we should leave America? Does it mean that we should leave any denomination? What does it mean? That's the question. The first thing is, in the book of Revelation, there had to be some application to the first century church, something that they could relate to, because it's written first and foremost for them, but then for all readers through the generations. So I think at different times, it could have different application. But for me, number one, I am super careful to use the Babylon term, meaning that when I hear people say we have to leave the church system, you have to leave all denominations, you have to leave people that meet in buildings because that's Babylon, that's real dangerous rhetoric to me. That's the kind of rhetoric that leads people into all kinds of deception and error and even cult-like separatistic practices. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, it can in certain ways represent a system. We are always called not to partake of the system of the world. So whether it is the sins of the flesh and the gratifying of the flesh and the world system, whether it is bowing down to a carnal political or educational system, whether it is bowing down to a false church or religion, or ultimately to an antichrist system, we always live bowing down to a different Lord. We always live setting different standards. We always live in such a way that our lives are set apart to do the will of God, whatever pressure the world puts on us. For Christian believers reading the text in the midst of the Muslim world, Babylon, which also has in it the blood of all the martyrs, boy, they could say that's radical Islam. And we have to call people out of that. So my own opinion, Shane, is I don't know that there is only one interpretation. At the end of the age, there'll be an overall application. But in every generation, I believe there is a calling out of the system of the world, a calling out of the carnal, religious, and political systems that have completely abandoned the word and are built on the flesh, and a calling to obey God at any cost or consequence. And hey, the same way, what's the mark of the beast and so on, that's always, is there going to be a biochip put in us, and don't give your kid a social security number, and people get worked up over that. But there's always a sense of bowing down to Caesar, bowing down to the world system, selling our soul for carnal things, and that we refuse to do. If you want to get more in-depth discussion, get Craig Keener's application commentary, NIV application commentary to the book of Revelation, and he'll give you a lot of data. That's Craig Keener on Revelation. My bottom line today, storms are here, storms are increasing. We not only have a refuge from the storm, we have an invitation to the world to come and be safe and saved.